Support for WPR comes from The Alliance, a not-for-profit cooperative committed to helping employers self-fund by providing data and insights to manage their health plans. Info is at the-alliance.org. Support for WPR comes from Stoughton Health, an independent community healthcare organization treating acute mental health disorders in adults age 55 and over, accepting many insurance plans. StoughtonHealth.com.
Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, April the 3rd. And the idea we'll explore this hour is whether grocery stores and other stores should be required to offer only recyclable bags. The city of San Francisco has become the first in the nation to ban the use of non-compostable bags at stores, and we will wonder if you think your community should follow suit. We have many different guests with different views on this, and we welcome yours too. 1-800-642-1234. That's toll-free from anywhere, 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or talk at WPR.org. Our email address, talk at WPR.org. So what'll it be, paper or plastic, or do you bring your own bag to the grocery store? We will start our hour with John Koifman. He is a spokesperson for the Natural Resources Defense Fund, a national environmental organization which recently opened a Chicago office to serve Wisconsin and the rest of the Midwest. And he joins us from Washington, D.C. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
And I understand you're a UW-Madison alumnus.
I am. It's always good to be back in Madison on the radio, even if I can't be there in person.
Yeah, we're glad to have you with us. Well, we saw an article in our Madison newspaper the other day that said, if San Francisco banned plastic bags, can Madison be far behind? Do you think it would be a good idea for Madison to do that?
This is really one of those cases where a whole lot of small things add up to a big problem and also, we think, a big opportunity. Americans go through about 100 billion plastic bags each year from the stores, about 30 billion of those from the grocery industry alone. That's something close to 1,500 bags for your average American family of four, which is a lot of plastic, as anybody knows if you've got them tucked away under your sink or stashed somewhere in the kitchen.
Yeah, my pantry, they do fall out of that thing. 100 billion a year?
100 billion of those bags, and they tend to gum up the works in recycling facilities. You can recycle them, but they're a little messy, particularly if they're mixed in with other recycling. When they get out into the waste stream, they tend to blow around. You see them hanging from trees all over town. If you're in a coastal area, we've got a serious issue with them winding up in the oceans, where to lots and lots of marine life, they look like lunch. And we're finding sea turtles and other marine mammals with their stomachs full of these things because they've blown into the water and got mistaken for a jellyfish.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to ask. I thought that some of these plastic bags were recyclable.
Well, they are recyclable. The problem is that they are not being recycled. In California, where the grocery industry has dug in its heels now on this issue for some time, they actually ran a experiment where, and at the behest of the industry, they said, let's really focus hard on recycling these things first, which is, okay, fair enough. And after a year or so of doing this, what we found was about somewhere between 1% and 4% of the bags were making it back into the recycling stream, and that's just not enough.
Yeah, that's so. Then the rest of them are trashing up the place. Now, we recycle the bags. Well, I guess kind of recycle them, like using them as when we take our dog for a walk, if you get my drift.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, and really, you know, people ask us all the time when we hear paper or plastic, what's the best way to go? Mm-hmm. And because it's so difficult to tell where your paper bag is being sourced, is it, you know, from forests that are being harvested renewably and sustainably, the best answer we've been able to give is whichever one of those bags you think you can use again for something, whether it is, of course, following the dog around, mm-hmm. or in many areas you can use the paper bags for your newspaper recycling. And you know, that's a great way to reuse these things. You can, of course, also take them back to the store if you want, or use a cloth or canvas bag when you're doing the shopping. But, you know, for most of us, we're not always going to be able to do this, and you're not going to get free of the plastic bags. What they've done in San Francisco is offer a third choice, and now the question effectively is paper, plastic, or potato. And that is requiring the grocery manufacturers to provide either a paper bag or a bag made from starch that comes from potato, from corn plants. They cost a few pennies more than the conventional plastic bags that you see hanging from the trees outside your house, but they are biodegradable in the compost and recycling. And San Francisco, being San Francisco, is a few steps ahead of the rest of us, and they have in fact got a municipal compost system as part of their recycling pickup, which is also terrific.
So do you see other cities following suit?
It's been quite remarkable. I mean, this is part of a trend that we're seeing nationwide on a lot of fronts. IKEA, for example, the European furniture retailer that's been popping up all over this country, is moving this year to move customers off these bags themselves by charging folks a nickel a bag if they want one, or making available for 50 cents a great big blue reusable bag. This is something they did in Europe and actually managed to cut the use of the disposable bags 95%. But since this ordinance was passed in San Francisco last week, we have seen a whole lot of local communities, municipalities, start to look at this themselves. In New York City, of all places, where things tend to be rough and tumble with our recycling, our commissioner of sanitation, who was a guy very old school, who came up into the business of working on the trash trucks, was on the radio the other morning saying, we need to try this here in New York.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens in Madison, too. Thanks a lot for being with us. John Kaufman is spokesperson for the Natural Resources Defense Council. The National Environmental Organization recently opened a Chicago office to serve Wisconsin and the Midwest. We will welcome in Brett Halsey. He's formerly with the Sierra Club. He is now with his own environmental consulting firm, also a Dane County Board supervisor, and we'll get his perspective on this development, San Francisco banning non-recyclable plastic bags. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you along. Hope you stay tuned. Coming up this afternoon, it's Peter Donalds in for Ben Marins for At Issue. And after 5 o'clock, Peter and his guest will discuss the USA Today list of the top 25 quotes from the last 25 years, like Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall, and keep hope alive, and others. You can call in with your favorite quote, and Peter and his guest will talk about this list of the top 25 quotes from the last 25 years after 5 o'clock this afternoon. We're talking this hour about San Francisco banning plastic bags, or the non-recyclable plastic bags that are offered at grocery stores and big drug stores and other retail outlets. Will other communities follow suit? Some say probably. We wonder what you think, what questions you have. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Joining us now is Brett Halsey, president of Better Environmental Solutions, an environmental consulting firm in Madison. He is also a Dane County Board Supervisor. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
One news report in the State Journal, I think this was, getting reaction to this San Francisco ordinance, quoted Dane County's executive, Kathleen Falk, as saying that this idea is being considered in Dane County. What do you know about this?
We're looking into our authority to regulate this sort of thing right now. Obviously, Wisconsin, we import all of our oil, about $18 million worth of oil and other energy into our state. So we need to look at solutions like this to both make ourselves more energy independent and reduce our garbage load.
Yeah. So tell me how an ordinance like this would make us more energy independent.
Well, the plastic bags, like you, that the NRDC spokesman said, like you see hanging from the trees. When I was down helping with Katrina after the hurricane down there, I mean, the trees were littered with garbage bags like they were Christmas ornaments. So these are a major garbage problem. They also, the plastic also requires oil to produce. And there are definite alternatives. Obviously, our Wisconsin potato growers would be happy to produce potato bags. The corn growers, which is one of my clients, would be happy to produce corn plastic bags. And obviously, Wisconsin's the largest paper-making area in the nation, so they'll be happy to make you a paper bag as well. So.
Yeah. You know, I was just at the grocery store yesterday, and I noticed that the grocery store I go to is no longer offering kind of those flimsy bags anymore, but it is a sturdier bag, a different type of bag. Does that mean that that is a recyclable plastic bag?
You should ask them where, you know, and that's one of the key things that, you know, we really don't need regulation to solve this problem, consumer demand. If all of your listeners go to the store today and say, we want to have a reusable bag, either a cloth bag, I'm sure Wisconsin Public Radio can get us some of those, or or other bags, we can do this without regulation. But it is obviously San Francisco started a trend, and everybody is interested in how we make ourselves more energy independent, given what's going on in the world today. So.
Yeah, you know, I don't get the plastic bag all the time, but I get it some of the time because, as I mentioned to my previous guest, we do try to reuse them for different things around the house or following the dog or whatever.
We use ours for cat litter, so
yeah, there, that too, that too. But the you know, I also know some grocery stores would say, hey, we have this big bin here. You can bring in your plastic bags and we'll recycle them. Is that right? I mean, can't they be recycled as it is?
That's better than them being thrown away or, you know, blowing away. But what really makes sense and what I think the better environmental solution is to just take a bunch of those plastic bags, stick them in another bag, put them under the seat of your car. So when you go in, you just take those in and reuse them. That makes more sense than recycling. Because, you know, you're never really sure where those recycled bags go. I mean,
Do you know, Brett? Because some say that that they just end up in the landfill or they're not really being recycled.
I have heard that as well. Mm. And, you know, I know that goes on some places outside Wisconsin. Wisconsin has one of the best recycling programs in the nation. I was speaking to the recyclers a couple of months ago, and they really are on the ball. And so I am pretty sure if people say recycled here, it goes that way. But, again, it makes sense just to reuse them in the first place so you don't have to recycle them. We have a whole collection of cloth bags we take in, and sometimes it makes the baggers at the grocery store a little mad at us. But it's like, you know, folks, we don't want all that garbage.
Yeah, so. Do they really give you the eye if you bring in your own cloth bag?
They give you it. Mm-hmm. They're a little grumpy because, you know, their system is set up to just, you know, paper or plastic. And we say, you know, none of the above. We have our own cloth bags or reusing other plastic bags. So.
Well, yeah, and you have enough of those cloth bags to carry home all your groceries?
Pretty much. Yeah. And, you know, every once in a while we'll get a couple of more for the cat litter, you know.
Yeah.
But I think the easiest thing to do, even without doing the cloth bags, is just take a bunch of the plastic ones, which all of us have laying around our kitchen someplace, you know, little cubby hole, and stick those under the seat of your car and then you can make your baggers grumpy as well.
Yeah, but if you're sitting on the Dane County board and this proposal comes before you, let's ban the flimsy, non-recyclable plastic bag made out of these oil products. Do you vote yes or no?
Well, I have county staff looking into our authority on this right now, so I may be, you know, sponsoring it instead of just voting on it. But this is one of the things we have to do if we're going to make ourselves more energy independent and reduce our use of oil and fossil fuels. And yes, I would vote for it. So.
Yeah. Well, we have 5 minutes here with Brett Halsey. We'll be welcoming in some other guests with different perspectives coming up after the weather break. But what do you think? paper or plastic? Ban the plastic? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. 263-1890. San Francisco became the first city in the nation, the first community in the nation to outlaw, to ban non-recyclable plastic bags from use in supermarkets and drugstores and other large retailers. And we are wondering if other communities should follow suit. Would you like your community to follow suit? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or talk at WPR.org. I was surprised that we didn't have any callers, and now all of our lines are lighting up. So we will be talking with a representative, a spokesperson for the Wisconsin Grocers Association coming up after the news. Brett Halsey and of course the Grocers Association doesn't think we need this kind of a mandate. You seem to be thinking that the mandate may not be the best idea, but then you said you might even sponsor the ordinance.
And the point is, mm-hmm. if we can work with the grocers to create more alternatives for people and reduce garbage, then you might not need regulations. But, let's hear whether they're willing to work with us on this.
Yeah, I mean, meaning just voluntarily go for these other bags rather than, is that what you mean?
Right, and mm-hmm. help Wisconsin corn farmers and potato farmers in the process.
Yeah, Larry in Delavan is with us. Hi, Larry, you're on the air.
Good morning. I'm just commenting, I can't tell how many times I've followed the recyclers, the trucks, and they've got a job, what a job they do, but there are so many times you're following them and you're seeing these bags and other plastic things just blowing out of them, and I think that a lot of the times when we see this plastic in the trees and stuff, it's not even the people disposing of them. I think it's just the recyclers, as they're driving down the road, half the time their stuff's blowing out of the truck. I don't know if there's anything that can be done about that.
Well, yeah, definitely, Larry. I mean, we need to. In Madison, we just went to a recycling pickup system that Mayor Dave put in, and that has helped increase our recycling. I've never seen this out of one of our recycling trucks, but
no, I haven't either.
I'm sure it happens, but and obviously, the better trucks you have, the better system to have. You don't want garbage blowing around, regardless whether it's a garbage truck or a recycling truck.
We can't throw those plastic bags in the Madison recycle bin either, can we, Brett Halsey?
I don't believe
so. Yeah, I didn't think so either. Bill in Marshfield, hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I guess the question that I would pose, and I know it's been posed relative to the San Francisco situation, is what do you do about all of the other plastic sheet-type products, the dry cleaning bags, the large 30-gallon trash bags, the trash can liners for inside the house, the plastic painting cloths, and that sort of thing.
Yeah, a lot of plastic out there, Brett Halsey.
There is a huge amount of plastic, and one of the things, I've been researching a report on using excess biomass, like corn stover. We can start making a lot of this plastic from recyclable and biodegradable materials like corn plastic. We have about 4 billion tons a year, or like 4 million tons a year of corn stover in Wisconsin that could be turned into plastic that would actually biodegrade when you're finished using it. So there's a lot of other uses for excess biomass, and right now it's all made from oil. This is helps us move off that oil addiction that President Bush talks about.
So. We are at news time, so thanks, Brett Halsey, for being with us.
Sure thing.
Brett Halsey, president of Better Environmental Solutions, also a Dane County Board Supervisor. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 7:36 on this Tuesday, April the 3rd, and happy April. Nothing like welcoming in April with a couple of feet of fresh snow, is there? Well, lots of rain in southern Wisconsin, snow in the north. Stay dry. We are talking about San Francisco banning non-recyclable plastic bags at grocery stores and big drug stores and large retail shops, and wondering if other communities should follow suit. We heard from a couple of guests in our last half hour who thought the idea had merit. And we will talk with two guests in this half hour who aren't quite so sure. 1-800-642-1234 is the number for you to join in with your questions and thoughts about this. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. What would you think of a ban on plastic bags at your supermarket's checkout lane? Or you can send us an email, talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. What do you do right now? Do you choose paper or plastic, or do you bring your own cloth bag? Joining us now is Brandon Schultz. He is president and CEO of the Wisconsin Grocers Association. He is also a member of the Wisconsin Grocers Association's Education Foundation's Board of Governors. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for joining us.
You bet.
What do you think of San Francisco's plastic bag ban?
Well, sometimes I think what happens in San Francisco should stay in San Francisco. But, you know, there are a number of things that you have to take into consideration if you want to go down the path that they did in San Francisco. It, you know, at the front of it, when you just say, oh, they've banned the use of plastic bags, it sounds kind of like, you know, hey, well, that's not a bad idea. And then if you start to look a little bit more of the consequences, you start to maybe scratch your head and go, well, is that really the best way to go about this?
Yeah, what are the consequences?
Well, I think you have to look at a couple of things, and you have to balance those against what could be done. So here's a whole bunch of things to think about. The alternative is paper, and that costs five to six times more than a plastic bag. And I can assure you that consumers... you will pay for it when you go to the store. I mean, grocers can't absorb those kind of costs. I mean, those are, you know, a 5 to 6 times cost increase is exorbitant. And of course, paper will use more landfill space. And, it, you know, paper does degrade, but it takes time. Now, San Francisco has said they want grocers to use compostable plastic bags.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, those plastic bags can't be combined with other plastic and go to the landfill. It doesn't work. They can't be combined with other plastic because they can't be recycled. So you have to create a huge industrial composting operation to compost those new bags.
Help me understand that a little bit more. We heard Brett Halsey say that these plastic bags could be made with a potato starch or a corn starch. You're saying that it's more difficult than that?
Yeah, it is. And you know, part of the thing here in the what should we do, I think we need to let science work on a better alternative in the compostable bag that, you know, right now, if you want something to compost, it either has to do it because of air or has to do it because of light. And when you turn this stuff over into a landfill, it doesn't decompose. When you mix these biodegradable bags with plastic bags, you can't then put that into the recycling waste stream because the two don't work together. So
yeah,
they're not as far down the road as they'd like you to believe in terms of, oh, we've got a bag that'll just magically disintegrate, you know, when you're done using it. That's not the case. And when you divert these plastic bags from the recycle stream now, you're impacting what is now a very viable part of our economy, and that's the recycling business. Plastic bags are recycled into plastic lumber and new plastic bags and trash can liners and flower pots and drain pipes and all sorts of things. So you're gonna do that. Another thing here, and you got to keep this in mind, plastic bags are popular with customers. There is no hue and cry from the customers coming to the grocery store saying, I hate these. And for those who do, they use paper. And there are some, very few, who bring their own bag. You know,
Stores give the stink eye to people who bring their own bag? That's what Brett Halsey was mentioning that, too. Do they not like that?
I'm sorry, the first part of what
grocery you... stores do grocery stores mind the baggers?
Oh, sure.
They don't mind if you bring your own bag.
Not at all. Mm-hmm. It's a cost saving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, sure, a plastic bag can cost us a penny, but, you know, the fewer that you use, the less cost there is to grocers. So, you know, there aren't a lot, and quite honestly, most people would have to bring rather, you know, a lot of bags,
mm-hmm.
and they don't want to, but sure, if they want to. I think the other thing you have to take into consideration is if you want to ban plastic bags, it takes about 12 million barrels of oil to make 100 billion plastic bags. To make the equivalent of paper bags means you got to knock down 140 million trees. And this just isn't the stuff that's in our backyard. This is virgin timber and the kind of high-quality fiber that's needed to make these bags because they've got to be strong. They can't fall apart. You know, there's lots of facts out there. It takes 7 trucks to deliver the same number of paper bags as 1 truck that delivers a plastic bag. And back to San Francisco for a minute, you know, they passed this ordinance, and they said, okay, the 50 biggest stores and then pharmacies. Well, you know what? There's a whole lot of other stores out there that use plastic bags, and there's a whole lot of other businesses, whether they're carry-out restaurants or other mm-hmm. things. And it's not an equitable ordinance. So before we have this great leap into what sounds like a good idea, when you look at the recycling consequences, the cost to consumers, the application of an equitable ordinance to all businesses, it's turned out to be a pretty bad idea. And I think that doesn't say that in the future this is something we go to. Like I said, I think science has got to catch up to, you know, what do we do with the issue of plastic bags? Science has got to catch up on this, on the compostable idea. There aren't enough of these biodegradable, compostable plastic bags to satisfy the San Francisco market. So we're yeah. certainly not going to do it nationwide.
The plastic bags that we're using now or that we could get at a grocery store now are indeed being, if people bring them to some sort of recycling outlet, will be made into other products?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you just think about the uses of the plastic bag once you bring them home, I think just about everybody's got some little container in their pantry or kitchen or someplace where they stuff these things down and they use them to line their trash cans, take their lunch to work, whatever the case may
kitty
be.
Litter.
Kitty litter, absolutely, yeah.
Well, we have
diapers,
lots.
You know, I mean, there's all sorts of things that you can use them for. But grocery stores and other retailers have good recycling programs where they encourage their customers to bring these, you know, save them and bring them back, shove them in a bag and bring us a whole bag back. And they put that into the recycle stream. You see it right here in Wisconsin. And Roundy's has received awards from the Department of Natural Resources on their Green Tier program, where they not only do they do the plastic, they do cardboard and everything else. You know, and they encourage people to bring this in. And those plastic bags are recycled into other plastic products. I mean, you know,
but people have to do that. That was our two guests in the first half hour were saying they end up in, you know, in the tree in your backyard.
You know what? Mm-hmm. And they're right. Mm-hmm. Because out of 100 billion plastic bags, some are going to end up in the trees. Some are going to end up in a roadside. Some are going to end up, you know, in places where they look terrible. And a lot of times that drives people to go, oh, my God, we got to do something about this. All right, well, before we just ban it outright, let's make sure that we don't take a step that is going to have consequences that we are going to regret. You know, plastic bags came into the market many, many years ago. I think they started, the first bag came in about 1957, you know, little sandwich bags and baggies and dry cleaning bags. And it was about 1990 when the first blue recycling bag came into business. And since then, this has been popular with consumers. So it's taken a long time to move from paper into plastic and generating the, you know, paper versus plastic line. And it's taken a long time to get to the point where we are now. I think if we want to move away from plastic, we have to consider all the consequences and find a way to move.
Yeah.
To do what San Francisco did and apply it narrowly to a few stores with a demand that they use a compostable, biodegradable bag, it's a little too fast. And I know the guy from the Natural Resources Defense Council says, oh, I hope grocers don't oppose this. Well, what we'd like is to get there in a way that's equitable. We'd like to get there in a way that our customers are happy about it. I think when you shove things down consumers' mouths, sometimes, you know, it may sound good, but, you know, it's a reaction that they may not be prepared for. I talked to a number of people yesterday, said, how would you just like to add, you know, $10 to your grocery bill every time you come in to recapture the cost of the increased cost of paper bags, or $5 or whatever? I think after a while you'd get kind of annoyed at that. But the fact is that there are costs to this that will be borne by consumers.
We have lots of callers, and I want Brandon Schultz, you say you can stay with us through the end of the hour?
Sure.
And we will also be welcoming in another Dane County board supervisor who is against the idea of mandating this, the banning of non-recyclable plastic bags at grocery stores. And we'll take your calls, 1-800-642-1234 and Madison 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 12 minutes before 8 o'clock. We'll talk about presidential politics coming up after 8 o'clock, talk about the fundraising of the candidates, the current candidates, talk some about Tommy Thompson announcing that he's going to get into the race. So we'll talk presidential politics in our next hour. Right now we're talking about San Francisco banning plastic checkout bags in grocery stores. They have to be compostable plastic bags in San Francisco from now on. We are wondering if other communities will be following suit. Heard from a couple of guests in our first half hour saying that wouldn't be a bad idea. And now we're hearing from a guest or two who don't think this should be mandated. We will welcome in. We have staying with us, Brandon Schultz, president and CEO of the Wisconsin Grocers Association, and welcoming in right now, Dennis O'Loughlin, who is a Dane County board supervisor. Good morning to you. Oops, I'm sorry, I didn't push the right button. Good morning.
Good morning.
And we heard from Brett Halsey, another Dane County Board supervisor, in our last half hour, who said that he thought recycling these on our own and making sure they're reused and maybe bringing a cloth paper or a cloth bag to the grocery store, all that might be better than a mandate, but that a mandate banning these plastic bags might be in the works. Dennis O'Loughlin, why would you oppose that?
Well, there's a couple of reasons. Number one, I think it's important that we recycle. I think everybody's on the same page as far as recycling goes, but for an ordinance to be written stating that you ban them, I think is not part of the process. I think it would be best if we voluntarily do the recycling bid. I think that Brett and I are probably on the same page as far as this issue goes. I think voluntary recycling is critical. I think that people who do the recycling by taking their plastic bags back with them to the store to reuse again, or if they're saving them or if they can get a credit for them for a nickel or a dime, I think that's the way we should go, not having government come in and ban the plastic bags right now.
Yeah, we did hear Brett Halsey say, and I'm going to get Brendan Schultz in on this too, that he was going to kind of wait and see maybe if groceries, if the public reacts, I don't know, favorably and starts recycling more, and or the grocery stores might put more of these cornstarch or potato starch plastic bags use those, that maybe an ordinance wouldn't be necessary. Brandon Schultz, would do stores like the idea of these compostable bags voluntarily?
Well, again, I want to emphasize the fact that if you put those out there, you can't mix them with other plastic bags and other recyclables, mm-hmm. because you'll essentially contaminate the recycling stream, rendering the plastic unusable, recyclable, and these bags will not decompose. They have to be decomposed by an industrial process. So that's one thing to consider. The process isn't there. Number two, if you just go on the website and look up pricing on plastic bags, if you want to buy 500 large biodegradable grocery bags with handles, it costs you $110. If you want to buy paper grocery bags, recycled brown paper bags for 500, it's $54. So just, it's not rocket science here. This stuff is going to cost more,
And retailers are, you know, the last thing they want to do is
increase the price.
Increase prices to their customers. They fight every day to cut costs out of their business. Now, that's not to say that some retailers look at this and say, you know what, I think I'm going to do this on my own. And if they choose to do so, and it's good for their business, then obviously we're all for it. I like what Dennis says, and that is, you know, let's work toward getting more grocery stores in the recycling business. Right now, half of the U.S. supermarkets across the country are in the recycling business, or they provide the opportunity for their customers to bring those bags, and we can always grow that. You know, Wisconsin has a strong tradition of not only home and curbside recycling, but also from the retail side where, you know, you've got more and more participation through DNR programs and county programs to be more responsible in terms of recycling. Yeah. That's going to get us there, as opposed to this the kind of loose threat that says, you know, if retailers start to use corn-based or soy-based or whatever potato-based plastic bags, maybe we won't need an ordinance. Well, that's a dangerous path to go down.
Let's take some calls.
I think this issue is glad it's come forward, because I think it's going to create an educational process, and I think it's going to help us in other areas of recycling. So I think the information that we got about San Francisco is good, and I think it will help us recycle other items in your household. But to specifically pick on the grocers and pick on the plastic bags, I don't think is the answer right now.
David in Elkhorn is with us. Hi, David. You're on the air.
Hi. I guess, I don't know exactly which side of the fence I stand on, whether you should regulate or whether you shouldn't. But I guess because I drive a garbage truck and I'm in one right now, and we go out and we collect the garbage and then we come back and collect the recycling. The way our trucks work, we have an automated arm and it dumps the toters over.
Mm-hmm.
And on windy days, those customers that put one plastic bag in their toter, it gets to be a big hassle, and
they can't recycle them in the recycle bin, but they put them in there accidentally, you're saying, and then they blow around. Is that what you're saying, David?
And I've left notes also requesting that they put more than one bag in there, so that at least there's more weight within the one bag. Or for instance, because a lot of we ask our customers to put them out earlier, like before 6 a.m. And then when you have a really windy day and they fall over, I know I'm not collecting all the plastic bags that are, because they may not even be within probably even 50 feet of where the toter's at.
Yeah.
And I really do appreciate this discussion, though. This is something we gotta do as a team.
Yeah. Supervisor O'Loughlin, any answer to that?
I think that's a very good point that he's made, and I think that if we continue to educate people and if we continue to bring the people, you know, our landfills right now are filling up like crazy, and we in Dane County have probably 10 more years to 15 more years at our present landfill, and I think everybody has to work on recycling, but for the government to come in and specifically target one area, I don't think is the answer right now.
Yeah, let me bring in Bill in River Falls. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Jay. Good morning. Good morning to you guys. Here's my perspective on this. Paper versus plastic. Plastic all the way. And I think I do that position for a couple of reasons. One is the plastic that's generated is polyethylene plastic bags. And the feedstock to make the polyethylene comes out of the ground anyways when we drill for oil. So the energy investment is already expanded when we drill for oil to recover, what we use for gasoline and other things. That feedstock is going to be used and turned around to everything that's plastic.
Bill, I really appreciate the call, and thank you for waiting to make your point. I know Bill's a scientist and knows a lot about this, but it's very hard to hear you on the cell phone that you're on. I think Brandon Schultz, he's saying that the plastic bag is a better environmental choice than the paper bag. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I think you're going to find, you know, a lot of people split on that. There, mm-hmm. As I said before, there are advantages to both sides. He does bring up an interesting point, and that is when you produce paper bags, besides the clear cut of timber, of virgin timber that you have to have, the production requires more energy. It generates more solid waste. It produces more emissions, in its process. So, it's not like paper's just wonderful. I mean, both plastic and paper have their upsides and their downsides. And, this is why I think Dennis has such a good point, and that is, it's a good discussion to have. It starts to bring some issues to the forefront. We can work harder to educate consumers in terms of recycling. We can work harder with the retail industry to be even greater participants than what we are today. And if we go back to our friend the first caller, those compostable, biodegradable bags, they're going to blow around in the wind too. So we got to work with folks to say, don't just throw them out there. Let's find a way to use them.
We're almost out of time. A couple of callers want to talk about how in Europe customers are charged for the plastic bag if they want a plastic bag. Brandon Schultz, should grocery stores do that here?
Well, the European grocery market is much different from the U.S. market and other markets. There are some stores that do in the U.S. and do in Wisconsin charge you for a plastic or paper bag, and you save money if you use your own, and if that works for consumers, that works. But I think, when you start to get in the business of having to charge for that, you take away some of what our shoppers look for when they come into the store.
We need to leave it there. Lots of interest in this topic, and I want to thank both of you very much for being with us. Dennis O'Loughlin, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much for asking.
And Brandon Schultz, thank you as well. Our guests talking about the ban on paper bags in San Francisco. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.